We're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN. We're talking today with Riley County Police Department Captain Josh Kyle and his detective who's joining us. He's remaining anonymous here to give us some information here as we talk a little bit about the crisis that is fentanyl and pills that are going around, counterfeit pills here in our community. And, you know, we were talking earlier about overdosing, and that's a real problem here with any kind of drugs like this, especially when they're laced with fentanyl. But we were talking to the break. I don't know that I would understand what a symptom of an overdose would look like, and I guess that maybe a lot of our listeners wouldn't either. So maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
So when people are overdosing opioids, and that's what fentanyl is. It's just a synthetic opioid that's made in the lab. You want to look for their altered level of consciousness. They're going to start having those lethargic movements, slow moving. They're going to appear to be falling asleep when probably not expected. And then watch their breathing. Their breathing's going to slow down almost to the point or to the point of not breathing. That's when they go into the respiratory arrest. It's just because an opioid, too much of it, causes a decrease in stimulus to breathe. And that's where the life and limb danger comes in, is when they've taken that amount where they're going to respiratory arrest. If no one's around them, it's going to be an unfortunate situation. But if someone's around them, they can contact 911 or administer Narcan. And the thing of Narcan is it's not a save-all. It's a time thing. So if there's more opioids than Narcan in the system, they may come to consciousness, but they may go back into respiratory arrest. That's why it's so important to call 911, even if you've administered Narcan and the person's conscious again.
Goodness. Well, and it sounds like the time you mentioned, the timing, it must not take very long for the overdose to set in after they take the pill.
Not at all. It's fairly quick moving, so it's one of those things where someone can be up docking and then they go to the bathroom, then they come back and they're falling asleep, and then they go unconscious and they breathing slows and they stop breathing. So,
well, and you, anytime that happens, a number of things can contribute. Then you could hit your head.
Yes.
Yeah, anything could happen at that point. Well, this is good information because this is a topic we don't dive into a whole lot here, and I just hope that, you know, the community will take this to heart because, you know, knowing what to do in a situation like that is almost as important, so you can try to potentially save a life. As far as you know, these investigations, and we mentioned how difficult it can be. You're probably always looking for leads to try to bring some of these people to justice. Is there ways that folks who are in this community here can maybe assist law enforcement?
Yes. If wish to remain anonymous, they can always contact our Crime Stoppers tip line. It's completely anonymous. Information is often forwarded to the investigators that are in that type of field, such as narcotics, person crimes, property crimes, etc. And we will follow up on those tips. So you can give as much information as you want in those tips or as little. We're still going to follow up with them, and especially if it's regarding an overdose investigation, we're going to, you know, definitely follow up with that and either corroborate or discredit that tip. So,
right. Well, I think I remember the big investigation a couple of years ago. Those were a lot of those were coming from out of state. They were coming in from the Chicago area, if I remember right. And I don't know if that's a trend that's continuing here. You mentioned Mexico earlier, but there's probably a whole pipeline that exists.
Right. And even the stuff that was coming from Chicago originated, you know, down south of our borders. That's where 95% of our illicit drugs come from. I would say 95 because, well, marijuana now these days is mostly grown in legal states and then transported across state lines. So the stuff that isn't being produced south of the border isn't pharmaceutically made. It's not, you know, the quality control is not there and whatnot. So different pills have different mixtures of whatnot. So like I said, it's like playing Russian roulette with what you take. You know, it could be a loaded gun. It could not be. You know, it's the risk that the individual takes if they're going to use these.
Mm. Is there certain communities that are affected more by this, like age-wise or demographics that we're seeing here in our community?
So it's affecting all ages, all socioeconomic statuses, stuff like that. We've had college graduates, K-State students, people in their 30s and their 40s. It's affecting everyone. It's just there's so many people, I think, that during the opioid crisis is at its height, you know, almost 80% of our population in 2011 and 2012 was prescribed an opioid at some point in those years. Mm-hmm. And so that really drives an addiction because they are so highly addictive. So,
All right.
And I think that's what one of the things too is was such a shock with this is people that you normally wouldn't associate with illegal drugs or drug activity inadvertently got addicted to prescription drugs that have become very difficult to get a hold of, and now it turning into the black market and looking towards that for what's become an addiction issue. It's really insidious, and it's one of the reasons why we view this as a public health concern as much as anything else. Our concern here is to try to figure out as quickly as possible where these kinds of drugs are coming from so that we don't have overdose after overdose. And it really also adds towards our philosophy as an agency that we're very much evidence-based. We're looking for where are there social harms in our community and what can we do to address those harms before they grow into something much bigger.
Well, and you never like to think of these getting in the hands of children, but I imagine that's a real probability here in some of these communities where you have a high usage going on.
Yeah, so we've had, juveniles that have overdosed on these similar type pills. It's affecting all age groups. It's one of those where it's a pill, so they don't see it as the stigma of being that dirty drug, like such as methamphetamine or heroin or whatnot. They also have that belief that, well, doctors prescribe these to parents, my parents, my grandparents in the past after a surgery. They can't be that dangerous.
Well, and that goes back to, the peer pressures of high school, some you're at a party and somebody hands you something and you're not sure about it, don't take it.
Correct, yes. If you don't want to trust your life with a small blue pill, I would not suggest taking one and stray away from the peer pressure on that. And I would hope your friends would understand that when it's taking a chance with your life, you're going to err on your own.
Absolutely. Yeah, so important. And I'm sure there's probably other drugs that we haven't touched on. That's the big one here, but you probably see a variety of different issues with drugs in our community.
Yes. We haven't really seen heroin as much as we had a couple years past because of the counterfeit pills kind of taking their place. Of course, methamphetamine is always pretty common. That's probably the most common drug that we see. Marijuana is out there. It's still legal in Kansas. Until that law changes, it's going to be illegal to possess, and we will prosecute those cases.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good information here today. I don't have a lot of other questions. Is there anything maybe we haven't touched on that you want to make sure to get out there to the public?
Sure. There's one thing I wanted to point out, and that is the city of Manhattan has put together a task force on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I don't want to give away anything that's in the final report and take away somebody else's thunder, but I have been participating in the subcommittee involved in public safety. And one of the things that we recognize very quickly is the subject of public safety is big, and it goes into a number of different directions. And one of those directions is addiction. A lot of police many times deal with large social issues, and so we're a part of the puzzle. We're not the entire solution to that puzzle. And so one of the things that we discovered, in fact, Director Butler was looking into this, was as part of the research that we were required to do as part of this task force, and we found that there are a number of resources in this community. And so if somebody is dealing with addiction or knows somebody who's dealing with addiction, I strongly urge them to start looking into that. We do have resources available in this community that can help people who are dealing with addiction issues.
All right. Yeah, a little plug there for that. So important. Well, this has been great talking with you here today. We sure appreciate all the good information we've gotten. Thank you, sir, and thank you to Captain Kyle as well.
Thank you for having us. Really appreciate the opportunity.
All right, stay tuned. We're going to have another segment of In Focus coming up. We're going to get an update from Kevin Bryant and Suzanne Glymore as they preview their community conversation on race and reconciliation coming up on Monday.